Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. We have a wonderful interview today. We've already done it, so that's how we can say we know it's wonderful, with our dear friends, Myra and Seth Berovic. I think you'll really enjoy this. And so before we get to that, we just want to invite you to let other folks know about our podcast. We're getting an increasing listener base, and we really are looking to increase that even further. And the way to do that, of course, is tell your friends, you know, send them to wherever you got this podcast. Also, if you would rate us wherever you get your podcast and comment and do the kind of things that social media platforms use to tell other people about, you know, something when people are active on it, that would be really helpful for us. So what we're going to do before we get to our interview, we have a brief commercial about the book on which this podcast is based.
So the book is called Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And the book is available anywhere you get books. And if you just search for Reigniting the Spark and put in Dr. Bruce Chalmer, that's how my name is listed as the author of the book, you will find it. You'll find it as an Audible book or paperback, of course, or on Kindle from Amazon as well. And one of the things we've started to do now, and this is really exciting for us, we have a lot of fun doing it, is we are doing trainings based on the book, trainings for therapy professionals. And so you can find more information about that on my website, brucechalmer.com. And if you are interested in that, if you're listening to this and you are someone who is involved in creating continuing education opportunities for professionals, please do get in touch with us at brucechalmer.com. And now, let's get back to our podcast. So we're going to move now to our interview, and what you're going to hear is Judy introducing our guests, and then you'll hear the interview, and then we will be back. So I hope you enjoy.
Today we're speaking with Myra and Seth Berovic, a couple who exemplify the idea that love and passion are possible at any age. Myra is 83 years old, and Seth is 97 years old. It is a second marriage for the two of them. They met 52 years ago and have been married for 37 years. Originally from New York City, Seth moved to Vermont in 1953 as a member of the U.S. Air Force Dental Corps. He retired from his dental practice in 1998. Myra hails from Montreal, where she was a stay-at-home mom with 4 children. She is a crafter and jewelry maker under the label My Originals. They are still very much in love, and it comes out in the way they speak to and about each other. Seth and Myra, welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. It's great to have you on our show. And first, I'd like to start off by asking the two of you where and how you met.
Well, all right, I will start. We met because in my other life, we had bought a farm. It wasn't a working farm, in East Fairfield, Vermont. And we had a real old house there, which, well, I won't go into that. But anyway, one day, and we had a mailbox right on, it was a dirt road. One day I get a note in my mailbox that, you know, we have neighbors, we'd like to meet you. And I guess Howie, Myra's husband.
Starter
husband sent us a note. and through that contact, we got to know each other.
So you were neighbors.
Well, you both know what the word beshared means.
Mm-hmm. We do, and we'll explain it. Actually, let us explain it to our listeners, though. Yeah, let's explain it to our listeners for a second. So, Judy, why don't you explain what beshert means?
So, beshert, the quick is it was meant to be. So especially if you're talking about the love of your life, it was just meant to be.
It was like foreordained.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So go
ahead. Exactly. Because I'm originally from Montreal, and Seth is originally from New York. And it was both of our starters that really wanted to buy a place away from Montreal and Burlington.
The big city.
The big city.
Montreal and Burlington.
Yes.
No, we wanted to buy it. I don't know. Arlene wanted to make an investment in something. I don't know why she wanted it, but she wanted it.
Anyhow, we were neighbors, and I have four children. They were all quite young. And Seth, when their house burnt down, he would come up and work on the new house that they were building.
Oh, yes. Our old house burnt in a fire, and it was on the road. And on one side was a big hill. So we built the house on the top of the hill. It was on the top of a meadow, which the farmers used for growing hay or pasturing their cows or something. And I used to come up to supervise the people building the house. And after the house was built, I used to come up and mow the lawn and do other chores around the place.
And what does a friendly neighbor do? Seth would call, do you need milk? Do you need anything? And of course, I would also invite him for coffee or tea, you know. So our friendship grew into what you see now. We met in, what, 67?
66 or 67.
Yes.
Oh, so it's been a long time.
Oh, yes. We got married in 1983. And I have to tell you what a really funny thing. It was a long distance romance for many years. So today when there's a snowstorm, I turn to Seth and I say, we would meet halfway. I'd say, it's a good thing that we don't have to meet halfway now because we both need a chauffeur.
And Seth, did you have children from your first marriage?
Yes, I have two daughters, Robin and Beth. They were about the same age as Myra's children, maybe a little older.
Older. Robin was older.
Yeah, Robin was older, but I think Beth is about the same age as Shandel, huh? Oh
my God. No.
Yeah, how old were they?
At the time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you married, how old were your children? Were they still in the house?
Oh, the only one.
Oh, yes. They both were going to Burlington High School.
No, Seth, when we married.
Oh, when we married. No, they were both out of the house. Beth was at Tufts University. And Robin, that's a long story. You probably don't want me to go into it. She was in a commune for about 25 years.
That sounds interesting, actually.
That could be another podcast.
That could be.
It could be.
And what about you, Myra? What about your children? Were they in the house or were they already out?
The only one that was at home still when we married was Aviva, my youngest. And she moved when I moved here to marry Seth. And she was a senior at South Burlington High. It wasn't a hard adjustment because she had a lot of friends. She rode and was in a lot of, you know, competition. And I had friends here in Burlington. And the transition was not difficult for her at all.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like you didn't have to blend a family with lots of children together.
No.
Actually, the only child we had with us was Aviva, who was going to South Burlington High School at the time.
Mm-hmm. But you two had been together for quite a while before you got married, yes? It sounds like.
Well, Yes, we had a long friendship.
Uh-huh.
You see, I'm not as innocent as I may look at times.
You don't look innocent. So,
well, you know,
can I ask if your family was aware of this friendship?
I think that they must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I don't have to hem and haw. There was one time when I called them all down to the basement and I said, look, I have to tell you that Seth is my very dear friend and I need his friendship. He listens to me, he hears me, and he understands me, and he's sensitive to what I say. Mm-hmm. Which is not what I was living with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I said, I hope you understand.
And were you still married at that time?
Oh, yes.
No, well, part of the time.
Well, Sethi, when I spoke to the kids, I was married. Yes.
And, you know, Myra, that's something that I, you know, I work with. You know, I'm a couples therapist. That's what I do. And so I'm often, it's always interesting to me when I meet people, because, you know, the usual story is when people get together while they're still married to other people, it doesn't usually work out so well. And then I occasionally meet people like you and Seth where it works out wonderfully. We have some, I won't mention names, but we have some other friends too that you may know as well, that where it worked wonderfully for them too. And that's the exception, not the rule. And I always find it interesting, you know, to ask about that. How did it work for you? When, you know, so many people, that doesn't work out well, you know, when they end up divorcing their spouses and then discover the things they thought they had in common really weren't so common, or, you know, they were doing things that kind of ignored a lot of realities. And once they were able to be together in real life, it didn't work. And for the two of you, it clearly did work.
I heard it said that people make the same mistake over and over again. I don't think we did.
No, we sure didn't. But the reality is we were certainly friends for at least 2 years before we became lovers. Mm-hmm. And then it was 14 years of a long distance relationship.
And when did your husband find out about it? Or when did you tell your husband?
No, I never told him. He had an ongoing relationship with his secretary, and I knew it. And, you know, I'm sure he suspected, no question. He certainly isn't a stupid man, mm-hmm. but whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. You're giving an example of something that I often refer to, where you have a couple that has a lot of stability, but doesn't have a lot of intimacy, in the sense that there you were both doing things that you thought maybe the other one would know about, but you didn't talk about it at all, because talking about it would threaten the stability of your marriage.
Bruce, I spoke about his infidelity, believe me.
Oh, you did? You talked to him about it?
Oh, yes. I was not a happy camper, you know, mm-hmm. but like my daughter says to me, Mom, you're such a strong woman. How come you didn't leave earlier? I said, Shane, four good reasons. Mm-hmm. Shandy, Mikey, Karen, and Aviva.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. You know, and he was very successful, but if he saw me on the corner of Church Street with a can asking for a handout, this was his mentality, you know, I'll make her suffer.
Can I add something here?
Of course.
Sure.
Maybe my point of view is a little different than this. When we first started having feelings for each other, I felt very guilty about it. I felt I didn't want to break up a marriage and we were heading into trouble. And, you know, it didn't look good. I called up Howie and I had a meeting with him. and to tell him that I was concerned and that he should do something about it. But he never got the message, apparently, or he didn't care.
Wow.
Well, that's interesting.
I forgot
that
about
you
that,
Seth. Husband had a conversation. Wow.
I forgot about that.
No, that's really interesting. Yeah.
You know the expression, one man's poison is another man's medicine?
Uh-huh. I guess that was you, huh?
Yes.
No, that is so interesting, though, that Seth, that you decided, you know, as an ethical thing, you decided you would have a conversation with him to alert him to what was going wrong in his marriage, even though if he had been able to fix it, then you wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't have been able to act on your feelings for Myra. So it's just interesting that you decided to do that.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
You're a mensch, Seth.
He is a mensch.
Which is really what it's about. And it's, you know, when Seth, when you said, you know, so many people do just keep repeating the same mistake. I see that a lot in my work. And you didn't, the two of you didn't. And I think it had something to do with that. It had something to do with the fact that maybe you were old enough to have some experience, so you understood what was going on and you didn't repeat the same mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Starter wouldn't pick up milk for cereal if I couldn't get out and the kids were sick. With Sethy, in my earlier years, I could burn the candle at both ends. So if I decide to bake at 9 o'clock at night and discover I was short of something, Sethy would say, "Oh, no problem. I'll go out and get it for you." You know,
and I went to the store on a real, real stormy, windy night with snow. I went to the store and I told him, the storekeeper, what I wanted. And he said, "Who sent you?" I said, "It wasn't my mother."
You know, this is kind of, it's kind of the equivalent of slaying a dragon for someone, you know, to go out in a snowstorm.
His jokes. And then, oh, how long are we married? Please God, in May, it will be 38 years.
Wow.
August.
I mean, in August, yeah, in August. We moved here.
Yeah, our second marriage has been longer than our first marriage.
Well, wonderful. And would you mind telling us your ages?
Not at all. How old are you?
I'm 97. I was born September 6, 1923.
Kanahara.
And I'm 83.
Mm-hmm. Kanahara. I don't know if we'll bother explaining that to our listeners or not. You can look it up.
They can figure it out.
And, you know, I have to say, it is, for those of us who know you, it is, and this is especially true of Seth because you're, you know, considerably older, the fact that you're 97 and have your marbles is really impressive and very inspiring to a lot of us.
Does he ever? Mm-hmm. Sethy is amazing. Just before this podcast interview, I enlisted Seth's help to cut fruit up for a fruit salad. And I just discovered that he's willing to do this, and he does it much more methodically than I would ever dream of doing. And he is now my sous chef with the fruit salad.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I want you folks to know that I have a BDS degree. You might think it's Doctor of Dental Surgery, but it isn't. It's Doctor of Dishwasher Science.
A very useful degree to have.
Now, tell me if I'm prying too closely, and you don't have to answer this, and you don't even have to do it about nowadays. But, you know, we sometimes joke about sex. So I wanted to ask you about sex life when people get older.
Every time I pass Sethy, I always caress him. His, not all the time, but many times during a day. And I look at him And I remember him the way it was and grateful for the way it is. Mm-hmm. And that changes. Listen, you know, everybody has aches and pains. The desire decreases, but it's a different kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you something, every day I'm so grateful that Seth is here.
Sure.
And often I'll say to him, Sethy, we didn't miss a chance.
Didn't miss a trick.
Didn't miss a trip.
You know, it's so interesting, Myra, what you're describing sounds to me like passion. And passion can express itself in different forms at different ages. And you're talking about a relationship where the passion, the spark is still alive.
Absolutely. I look at Seth and I wink and he looks at me and he winks. And sometimes the wink is because he squints one eye to see, but it's okay. He's winking.
You are so funny.
Oy vey. You know, it's true. Like we'll reminisce because like we were the couple that we would, if somebody wanted company to go out for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a creamy, they call us because we were always ready.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, Seth, I don't know, it was about 3:30, and he said, do you want to go out now? I said, Seth, 3:30, it's too late. You know?
What was.
Yeah. And another thing, things really change. So many of our friends have passed.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And you know, we would always go away for the winters. And mm-hmm. then the last winter we were there, Sethi looked at me, I looked at him. This is getting too hard.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he was not able to do what he used to do. And we said, decided, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us have not minded the winters at all.
Well, that's good because it certainly is cold and snowy up here.
Yeah.
What are some of the, or have you faced any challenges as a couple through the years? What have some of those been?
Sethi, what are some of our challenges?
What are our challenges? Well, I guess we had a bit of a challenge with Aviva at first. She wasn't comfortable being here and she was upset. And when we moved from Twin Oaks to Ridgewood, she was very upset. She didn't want us to move. She loved Ridgewood so much.
She loved Twin Oaks.
Loved so much. But after a while, she also loved Ridgewood just as much. My own personal challenge, well, I fell off a bicycle in Scottsdale and fractured the femur, so I was laid up for a while, and I had a partial hip replacement. But fortunately, I've been in very good health most of the time.
Catch wood, Canina.
I have things that drive me nuts, but they aren't life threatening.
And that must be, I mean, just challenging to a marriage, you know, when one person is laid up for a while.
Another challenge that I had was my daughter Robin, but that had nothing to do with our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Robin was in this commune, as I say, for probably around 25 years. And Arlene and I did everything we could to no avail. And after we split, Robin seemed to communicate better with Myra than she did with me at one point. But fortunately, she got out of the commune and she's now an attorney and she's working as a clerk for the Second Judicial District in New York, so we're happy about that. She and her husband, who she met in the commune, have a very nice home in Middlebury, Vermont.
Oh, nice. And how about you, Myra? Have there been challenges on your side in this marriage?
Have there been challenges? Well, I personally have had challenges, health challenges. Mm-hmm. But thank God, Sethi has always been supportive. Mm-hmm. And my kids have always been very supportive of me and Seth. They they really love him. They consider him, he's their other father. Much love. They will call and speak to him personally.
So Myra, when you think about challenges you face, one of the things I often find when I'm working with couples in second or, later marriages where there are already kids is I've got to imagine it's challenging sometimes just to feel, kind of developing your own relationship with your stepkids. And because, when in circumstances where they can look, stepkids can look at someone, at a stepmother and say, well, gee, you're in the picture, which is why my parents split up, even if that isn't true. And I can imagine that's challenging sometimes. Does that ring true for you?
Yes, definitely. And I think sometimes children feel that they're being disloyal to their mother and father if they embrace the stepmother. Or, I said, you have a mother. You had a mother. I don't want to be your mother. I have four kids. I just want to be your friend.
Mm-hmm. And that's, usually when people tell me that it ends up working out okay, it's some variation on that theme. People realize, it's funny, we just did a couple of weeks ago, we just did a podcast about, we started with the idea that the Brady Bunch was a disaster, although Judy convinced me it wasn't a total disaster for blended families. But that idea that, there's no difference and, the kids just look at step-parents exactly as parents. That's just nonsense. It doesn't really work that way. They have reason to feel mixed feelings. Yeah.
Our kids were grown up, so, let's be real. For years, ours was the B&B when Beth and David were building their home. David and the whole family would be here almost every weekend, not the whole family, two at a time. And it was our pleasure. It really was the B&B. So I certainly feel that I have done everything possible over these years.
Mm-hmm. Are there other things we should ask you about? What else do you think would be interesting for us? It's all interesting, I have to tell you. It's all interesting. But what else would be?
Seth reached a point where he didn't want to give up his car. And that was a real challenge.
Mm, yeah.
That was.
How did you get through that?
I just decided I would do it.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't such a quick decision, let me tell you.
No, it wasn't.
In Arizona, I did all the driving. Mm-hmm. And, Seth has difficulty turning his head and, getting into the car sometimes. So I worked hard. We enlisted my kids. We enlisted his friend Chuck. And Seth is not he is a stubborn guy, but he's not a dumb guy by any means. So finally he said, okay.
I remember you were driving a few years ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to add about Myra and her family and me and my family. I'm talking about our children.
I know.
And our upbringing. Myra is very, very close to her family. They're very close. They all speak on the phone a minimum once a day, usually more. My side is different. I don't speak to my children that often. They don't call me that often. That's just the way we are. Mm-hmm. And I remember in my other life, Arlene used to say, you know, you ought to call up your mother and father. You haven't spoke to them in a while. It's not that I was angry with them. I just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my being.
Yeah, different families are different about that. I see that a lot. We have that in ours. I don't talk to my kids nearly as much as Judy talks to her kids.
And I think that Myra equates everything the way that she sees it and thinks that it should be that way, but it isn't. Okay, I'm finished.
You going to let him get away with that, Myra?
You know what? I know that we're a little bit over the top connected. I mean, it's just, it's too funny. But, and I certainly don't expect the same from Seth's kids, but so distant it seems to me, you know, but it is what it is. So mm-hmm. Seth, he's happy. He's content. I don't have to stir the pot. As long as he's okay with everything. And as far as I'm concerned, I get enough love and everything else. Well, thanks for listening. Are you going to send me a bill at the after the inspection?
Well, actually, no, you should send us a bill. You know, you're the ones providing this such an interesting interview.
I really appreciate one of the reasons for the success of our marriage. I'll go back to when we first got married and the little advice that Rabbi Wall gave me. He didn't have to give it to me, but it was good advice anyway. He says, listen to what Myra asks you to do.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Good advice.
Good advice. I often offer the similar advice to folks I work with, actually.
Listen to your wife.
Listen to your wife. It's not a bad plan.
You know, when I was bat mitzvahed, the Goldberg's daughter was getting married. You were there, Judy. Yeah,
we were there.
We should mention this was an adult bat mitzvah, just so people aren't confused. Because otherwise, Judy could not have been at your bat mitzvah
no,
if it was at 13.
No, for sure not. And in my talk to the congregation, I dressed the young bride-to-be, and I said, if you think the three most important words are, I love you, they aren't. It's anything you want.
Also sage advice.
Yeah. What else? And then when Seth retired, that was a big adjustment for him, mm-hmm. you know, and that was difficult for him.
And you might tell folks what work you used to do.
Oh, Seth was a dentist, mm-hmm. and today he'll wake up some mornings and say, "Oh, I can't get going." And I'll turn to him and say, "Seth, don't worry. All the patients called, they canceled today. So take it easy." Another thing, Seth's hearing is not very good. It's, you know, and when the battery goes dead, it's really bad. But one thing I learned with his hearing difficulty is don't call Seth three times, because by the time you get to the third time, your tone is really harsh. So go up the stairs, or I call him on his phone, and that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work, Myra, outside of the home?
No, I didn't.
Well, yes, you did.
I was a stay-at-home mother, and then...
Well, you used to work for the telephone company in Montreal.
Oh, excuse me. When I was 17...
Uh-huh. Okay, so when Seth retired, you were already at home.
Oh gosh, yes. And I did work in Seth's office. I helped him when we first got married. And uh-huh. then I designed jewelry in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave fashion lectures in Montreal, and I was a wardrobe consultant, and believe me, nothing to put food on the table. Mm.
I have to say, you just informed something I didn't know about you. And of course, for our listeners who don't know, who haven't seen you, but the idea when you said you were a fashion consultant, a little light bulb went off in my head and I said, aha, that's why you always look so stylish. You know, you always look like you're... Like you, and it's funny, that is something that I personally am so usually unconscious of. So the fact that I'm conscious of that with you implies that, wow, you're really,
yeah, for Bruce to notice.
Thank you. Thank you. And, well, I did a lot of volunteer work when I was in Montreal because I was a stay at home and I was able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you work with the Moroccans?
Oh yes, I did work with the newly arrived Moroccan family in Montreal. I also taught arts and crafts at the School for the Blind.
Mm-hmm. So it's not though like when Seth retired, you were still going out to work every day.
Oh no, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. So how was it having Seth around the house all the time?
I love it.
Oh, okay. That's good.
That speaks well.
I just love it. Well, first of all, Seth could cocoon in his recliner and do crossword puzzles and doze occasionally. And me, I just love his presence, you know? I love if he's in the kitchen with me or wherever I am. I like it. I love it.
That's one difference between Myra and I. Myra has to have company all the time. She can't be alone, either on the telephone or someone with her or in the same room. With me, I could be alone. Well, I won't say forever, but it doesn't bother me to be alone. But I try to accommodate Myra the best that I can. And I have over the years. And one of the things that I feel as though I can accomplish in my life is to be of service to Myra. That's the main goal of my life at this point, is to be of service to Myra.
Isn't that sweet?
That is sweet. And that seems like a great note on which for us to end our interview. It's such a pleasure talking to the two of you.
And thank you so much for doing this. This is just wonderful. I think our listeners are really going to enjoy this. Well, we hope you enjoyed that interview. We certainly did. They are just such wonderful and inspiring folks.
Mm-hmm. On most shows, as if you're a regular listener, you know that we solicit listener questions and topic suggestions, especially if we have experts on our show. While Myra and Seth are experts at love, especially with each other, they are not field experts, so we did not have a listener question this week. But if you do have a listener question that you would like to pose to me and Bruce, feel free to email us, and the email is bruce@brucechalmer.com. or visit the website, brucechalmer.com.
And when you visit brucechalmer.com, you will see if you go to the podcast tab, that's a place where you can have access to all of our episodes up until now. And you can also suggest to us topics and also even suggest yourself or someone else to be a guest on our program. We're always interested in finding out about people that might be good guests to have on the show. We've had some really neat people and we're always looking for more. So... we're going to pause now briefly for another commercial for the book, and then we'll be back to wrap up. So the book is Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. And it's available anywhere books are sold, and we hope you will find it. You can find it on brucechalmer.com as well. There's links there so you can actually acquire the book. We hope you'll do that and give us your comments. And as I mentioned earlier, we've started doing trainings for professionals based on the book. If you have any interest in that, do let us know. So we'd like you to let other people know about our podcast, comment on our social media posts, or rate us, or do all the things. Just let your friends know about it. We'd love to spread the word about this. And we hope you've been enjoying these podcasts. We have some plans for some really fun and exciting different kinds of topics. I'm not going to tell you about that now. You'll just have to tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.